go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It's about 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go. If you would like to jump into the chat room and hang out with the happy, merry crowd that are there during the hours during which this program is live, just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and don't be brain. You'll be part of the Madcap Merriment, the multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Yes, it is the second day of June 2017. A lovely day here in Appalachistan. And it's Friday on the front porch time. Here in about 57 minutes or so, we will fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable to which you are heartily invited, as long as you're not brain. We'll see what's on everybody's minds. Of course, email, Twitter, and Facebook or Dave. Let's just shut that up. The hitches in the playback and everything. That wasn't the stream. That was the production computer getting ready to eventually, I think, just crash once and finitely. Thanks to Fab. Thank you, Fab, so very much. For time, we will have a new production machine. I went to Beckley today and picked up many, many, many computer components with which build said machine, and it's going to be a monster that should carry us 5 to 7 years, more than likely, here in the Horn studio. Oh, it is going to be a son of a gun. Good, Sparky. By the way, if you jump in that room, you will be met by Anatole and Labor Man and Silent R. Lamar and Jug of Punch and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, may do as he pleases. And this evening has not folded space. Sometimes even a spacing guild master gets tired of space folding. So Sparky's just Sparky this evening. And Sparky tells me, you banned him, Bob. Not in the user list anymore. Good. Good. I did it right. Yay me. So I think we shall have no further troubles in the chat room from Brain. He's getting far more attention than he deserves, frankly. See, I think I've figured out Brain. Brain is just a wingnut. He's just a trumpansy. There's nothing progressive about Brain. Brain doesn't believe in the things that you and I believe in. But somewhere along the way, he heard about this program. And somewhere along the way, he heard me say that right-wingers are simply not allowed to participate here. And so he tried to come up with some sort of sad, cheesy, tawdry little bullshit attempt to get himself heard while pretending to be you know, a progressive person. And quickly, you know, look, it's this simple. And this isn't just brain. If you voted for Donald Trump for any reason whatsoever, you're a Trumpansy. Okay? You fucked America. You fucked your own country. And consequently, as far as I'm concerned, you have nothing whatsoever to add to the overall conversation about what we do to extricate ourselves from the mess that we are in. Because you're part of the mess. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution. I mean, expecting Trumpansies to be part of to have anything to do with the solution, that's like expecting, oh, I don't know, Scott Pruitt over at the EPA, the guy who was, while he was Attorney General of Oklahoma, was nothing more than a tool. He did just an implement, a thing owned. He was a wholly owned subsidiary of the oil and gas industry in Oklahoma and outside Oklahoma. It would be expecting a Trumpansie to be part of the solution would be like expecting Scott Pruitt to have gone to the microphone today and said, Trump's my boss, but I really think it was kind of stupid getting out of the Paris Climate Accords, but he's my boss. He's my president. And, of course, Scott Pruitt didn't do that. Instead, Scott Pruitt went before the microphones and declared that, maybe we can, like, get back into the Paris Climate Accord if we can get everybody to let us just pollute and burn all the carbon we want to and fuck the ability of human beings to live on planet Earth while the rest of the world works on a solution. To which, you know, the major signatories to the agreement said, shut the fuck up, Scott. Shut the fuck up, Donnie. Exactly. And perhaps, I don't know, perhaps even by now, different Scott in San Diego, Scott and Punky, perhaps even now, Scott in San Diego knows whence comes the line, shut the fuck up, Donnie. So that's where we are. And that's why you won't be hearing any more from Brain. I mean, he did, well, he did send me one last email today. He may send me more, Brain. But he's quit signing his emails because, unlike other people named Brian, he can't make his email stop signing his emails, Brain. But, he said, if you insult me one more time, in fact, where do you live? I want to see if you're going to say that shit to my face. I'm over 6 foot. Really? Over 6 feet of what? But, well, we all understand language is a problem for Brain. I'm a big guy. And I bet Trump is stronger than you. And he's way richer than you. That's T-H-E-N-U. And how's your gut feeling? Pretty good today, really. It seems as long as I don't eat a lot of food, I'm in pretty good shape. So, there's Brain issuing personal threats. So that'll be the last from Brain. Because we don't allow right-wingers on this program. Ah, Billable Rick, you're just a softy is all you are. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Billable Rick says, please let Brain come back. We need to keep laughing our asses off. Please reconsider. I banned him. I took the lightsaber and just, and there was, and his, and there was nothing left. I mean, it's just like Star Wars. There was nothing left there, but, you know, but his Spider-Man, his Spider-Man underoos and his Batman bathrobe. Sorry. I don't think I've done that in a while. I may have done it wrong. Who knows? That's funny. Wait a minute. Little of this for Texas T. Daddy, where did Brain go? Well, son, Brain went where all Trumpansies go. To Walmart. That's a good one too, Marty. But yeah, we're not going to pile on. I don't know. I don't know, Steve. Steve with a note says, am I to understand that Scott in San Diego is no longer a Lebowski virgin? He is now abiding? I haven't heard from Scott. I don't know if he abides yet. But I was just saying, you know, we'll know when Scott starts dropping little lines here. Sometime soon. Well, okay, yeah. I mean, that's only like your opinion, man. So, where do we want to? I didn't even mention fundraising. So we pulled up short last night for the first day of the month of June, and. Since there were, you know, there's no first of the month challenge anymore. This evening we find ourselves with a $315 deficit. The overnight crew, the subscribers, did kick in a bit, and that helped out. And so we've got $315 in fundraising for this evening. That's the magic number tonight. $315. Okay. So that's where it stands. If you want to go to headonradionetwork.com, click on the contribute interface and use the PayPal to do whatever however much you want to help support the program. It will be mightily appreciated. Massively appreciated. That's how we keep this program on the air. And I'm we are trying to eventually have 400 subscribers. We're nowhere near that yet, but if you want to check the little box, make this a recurring monthly donation, $10, $20. Mr. Soros, you just put in whatever you feel like. Just type in a 1 and start typing zeros until your little index finger gets tired, okay, for your monthly subscription, Mr. Soros. All right. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, and I went to the mailbox today to pick up the computer components, among other things. That's cool. If you prefer the Postal Service, the Mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And I'll get it as soon as Boss Man Wayne is still under the weather, awaiting to hear whether or not he will require further surgery to clear the stone that's lodged in his common bile duct after his cholecystectomy. Yucky. Yucky indeed. All right. What have we got this evening? Oh, we've got some, I guess you could say we've got some catching up to do. There are stories left over from the other 4 days of the week. You remember last night, the clip of Bro Fromix, Sanctum Sanctorum, explaining that the sun and the wind are inconsistent and unreliable. You know, for a super-duper, double-plus-good Christian like him, calling his Almighty's creations unreliable and inconsistent, I don't know. That might make the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky drop a house on you or something. Well, yeah, if he was, well, you know. Oh, programming note. The first two programs of the week next week. Monday, Moran Monday and Titanic Tuesday will only be two-hour programs. We'll go from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday and Tuesday instead of 6 to 9 because on Monday and Tuesday, because they'll be out of town, I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy as he and Kathy and Molly go traveling. I hope you'll join in for that extra couple of hours, the 2 hours of the Malloy program that I'll be filling in for. That's Monday and Tuesday, the 5th and the 6th of June. Oh, by the way, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, with a note, says, bumper-to-bumper traffic in Kansas City. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get home. I'd like to thank everybody at the Horn for keeping me company. And we love having your company, Carol. So feel free to describe any trumpansies that you may see on the road there. I'm sure that the bumper-to-bumper traffic is probably the direct and proximate result of a trumpansy. I mean, your kind. There's a lot of them out there. Of some trumpansy who can't drive.
Keeping the highways great again by going real slow.
And, yeah, it is Friday on the front porch, and we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in short order. If you've never participated, you are welcome so to do. All you have to do is send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, that's all one word. And as long as you're not Brain, then Sparky will show you the breadcrumb trail, and you will be part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and we'll see what's on your mind here in a little bit. No, the reason I asked if we recalled, and I'm sure we do, all of us do, the mansplaining that went on from Bro Fromix is because there's another top-shelf example of it. Of climate change denial and climate change stupid, courtesy of a white winger by the name of Stephen Moore. I'm sure you've heard of him before. Stephen Moore comes from one of those wingnut welfare think tanks, the word think being used extremely loosely in this particular situation. And he was interviewed by Fareed Zakaria. And hilarity ensued.
Sometimes. Manufacturing green products or green jobs here and exporting them abroad. We have a private energy sector that is able to do whatever it wants to do.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, rules matter, market signals matter. I don't think people have understood. We've talked about this so much about, you know, science and climate and polar bears and trees and all that sort of stuff. And in fact, we are in the middle of an extinction event. But let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about how America gets to be great again. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about putting America first. Let's talk about that.
This is the way you do it.
You get the rest of the world bought into a carbon-constrained growth strategy, which means you pull the rug out from under the Middle East. And then they say, well, where are we going to get all this clean energy technology? Have you ever heard of Tesla? Have you ever heard of California? you are literally throwing away customers for American industry. And here's the other thing. You could put the entire Rust Belt back to work. I'm about to cry. Just building the wind turbines to put on barges and send around the world. But we don't want to do that because we've now gotten to this thing where it's tribal. We're no longer looking at actual facts and economics. It's a tribal signal that I'm a good conservative if I poo-poo this stuff. And you got workers sitting there who are Trump voters who could go to work tomorrow if we did this thing.
Well, all of which makes really good sense, because quite often when, at least when he's not saying that Trump became presidential or some such goofy goblolly as that, Van Jones makes good sense, and he makes good sense with regard to the green economy and the future economy, the renewable economy, the sustainable economy. Of course, we just decided that we're not terribly interested in being the engine of sustainable energy. We'll leave that to Germany, Japan, and China. Right? Yeah. Because we're America and we can't do much. We can't figure that stuff out. Because that's not more exceptional. Yeah? It's painful to know that you live in a country that has made a political decision to be stupid. It is more painful to realize you live in a country in which there are people who are thrilled to death that we have made a decision to be stupid. I mean, the wing nuts and the white wingers and the birthers, deathers, birchers, baggers, booger eaters, trumpansies are hopping up and down happy that we're going to get out of that Paris Climate Court because freedom. Yeah. I mean, they're happy to be stupid. Trump really showed those sissy Europeans what he did. He showed them we don't got to be smart. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. Well, Stephen Moore will have something to say here in a moment.
Terrible.
Let me ask you, do you think that the Democratic Party has failed in explaining?
Yes.
I didn't even finish my sentence. I could talk about the Wonder Woman movie. In explaining to what President Trump on the campaign trail would call the forgotten man and the forgotten woman, the people in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan.
Tragedy right now is that you got this working class base of Trump people who are looking for hope. They're looking for opportunity. How am I going to get a job?
But they don't want no job unless it's Job Mining Co. And they don't want to hear Van Jones talk about it because he's black and it gives them
economic anxiety.
You understand? Right. I don't believe him. I don't believe that man. Him, him wrong color, be smart. My economic anxiety acting up. Where's my coal job?
And the jobs could come from the wind turbines you build, the solar, why did you laugh?
That's the argument Obama made.
It's the manufacturers, the truckers, the coal miners that are the victims of the climate change agenda. They're the first people to get laid off.
Really? Because I guess West Virginia, before we signed the Paris Climate Accords, and I'm just talking about West Virginia here because it's my, I've got a certain level of expertise, experience. I guess we had 500,000 people tunneling under the earth in the moments right before the Paris Climate Accords were signed. And that afterwards, they were on, and the truckers and the coal miners was all laid off. That, the guy that said that was Stephen Moore, who's, if his brains was gas, he wouldn't have enough to fill up a piss ants motorcycle and run it halfway around a BB. Two cycle or four. And what? And that's just the perpetuation of the lie. That somehow, back in the days when Merkel was at least a little bit greatish, and we didn't have no black man in the White House, that everybody, anybody that wanted a job in coal could have a job in coal. And there was coal dust there, free for the breathing, for anybody what wanted to, so that after they got tired of mining coal, they could go and get their black lung welfare. It was a great time to be a West Virginian, it was. Except those days have been gone for eons. And they didn't disappear because of the Paris Climate Accords. They disappeared because of mechanization. If you look at the numbers, and they're there, West Virginia was moving more coal than it had ever moved in its entire history of the industry during the last decade. There were a couple of years there where more coal was mined, blasted, gouged, scraped, dug, tormented out of the earth than had ever been removed from the earth before in this state. Only thing is, it was done with a lot of machines and not so many people. So no, Stephen Moore, you goddamn dumbass. You pathetic shill for the poison industry. You miserable rat turd who doesn't give a goddamn about what happens to innocent people who have to deal with the after effects of the mining and burning of coal. No. The coal miners were not the first to suffer.
It's not university professors or paying
me. Let me help you. You're just wrong on this. I'm going to help you. Here's your deal. Guess what? It is going to be very important for coal miners to go to work in Appalachia, in particular, if you do this agenda. And I'm going to tell you why. If you're going to build wind turbines, you've got to have enough thermal capacity from your coal to do it. In other words, you can actually, for a long period of time, have coal miners fueling the building of the wind turbines.
Why can't they mine coal? I mean, we have 500 years worth of coal. I mean, why would...
Oh! We got 500 years worth of coal!
Yeah, only we don't. I remember 15 years ago when we had 1,000 years worth of coal. Where'd the other 500 years go? Oops. It's more that dodgy math that the right-wingers like to use. The same kind that winds up with a $2 trillion hole in the proposed Trump budget. Steve with a note says, I hate to say this, but I have to wonder if something like this makes the divide in our country into a chasm that is frankly now unbridgeable. Bob, when some people just won't accept reality, that climate change is real and people are causing it and that this country needs other countries, how can we ever move forward together towards that more perfect union as one people? And I don't know that I've got a happy answer for that, because after all, let's remember, I am Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. Usually when this country has made progress, it has done so in spite of the idiots, not with their help. The recovery from the Great Depression was accomplished without any Republican help. The steps forward taken during the Civil War were only accomplishable because the Southern states were not in the Congress. I would say the vast majority of people who are college educated in the Horn Family Community Congregation were educated at a college that was funded from land grants. And the statutory scheme that set up those land grants only happened while the South was out of the Congress. It was not, they tried to pass it when the South was in the Congress, but the South stopped it because they didn't want just anybody going to college. I mean, the next thing you know, what'll be the fun of being the colonel on the plantation if everybody's got an edumacation? So, Steve, I mean, your misgivings are well taken. But remember, there's reason to believe that there are more of us than there are of them. And that usually provides the means by which to make the progress via majority rule. The only problem is manifesting that majority, you know, politically.
We have clean coal. We have the cleanest coal in the world. No. We have, the technology is incredible.
Jesus Christ, if I could reach through the monitor, I would grab that fuck by his neck. We have clean coal. Hey, Stephen Moore, dipshit. Come on down to Peachtree Holler. I know a place you could probably live. You could move right in and you could breathe the ultra-fine particulate dust that blows off of a mountaintop removal site every day. And then, in a few years, as the cancer began eating up your body and you lay on a hospital bed, you could, with your last few gasps, tell us again, Stephen Moore, about all that cleanest coal in the world. But this is a talking point. The idea of clean coal began as an advertising slogan in a Chicago newspaper, if I recall the story that my good friend Jeff Biggers told me once. It began as an advertisement in a Chicago newspaper, God, somewhere back in the 19-teens or 1920s. But the other part, I heard that the other day from someone else. There was some idiot, Republican, of course, Montana or Wyoming, said, we need to be burning more American coal. The idea of relative. But any coal, by definition, always going to be filthy. And you can't take the filthy out of it, even be marginally useful as an energy source, because you're using all of your energy for the carbon capture and storage involved. Merciful God, we've got clean coal. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, who said that? Silent R. Lamar. I know God loves a fool because of how many are here, but stupid people, it must be a skill. because those people are working real hard to be stupid. But there's another aspect to this, and that is that there are people who want to be lied to. Think of Trumpanzees as a whole bunch of ugly people at a dance. Nobody's coming over to ask them to dance because they're really, really ugly. I don't mean just superficially, physically unattractive. There's somebody for everybody out there. But I mean, they're ugly on the outside. They're ugly on the inside. They're standing over there by the chair rail with one pinky up their ass and the other pinky up their nose. And they just want somebody to come over and lie to them and tell them they're good looking and they sure do want to dance with them. And if they'll just do that, those ugly people will do anything the person asking them wants them to do. Hey, that big old sinus oyster you just hauled out of your nose, stick that in your mouth and chew on it a little bit. You think I'm pretty? Uh-huh. Chomp, 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 chomp. And that's where the Trumpanzees are. They just want to be lied to, and they want to be lied to so as to feel good about themselves, feel that their world is not changing, is not falling to pieces around them, and that they're going to be okay, and they can just go on living the way they were living, and nothing bad is going to happen, and they're not going to have to rethink how they exist, and they can go on mining coal forever and not have to try to get some sort of better job that won't wind up with them, you know, not being able to breathe after 20 or 30 years in the mine. I followed up. You may recall the conversation with Ron in the sodden, flood ravaged north, in which he mentioned the Procter and Gamble plant that's going in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. Martinsburg is practically Maryland. It's a bedroom community to D.C. Like everywhere else in West Virginia, it is absolutely burned up with opioids. But it's not just opioids. There are a lot of people in the Horn Family Community Congregation who enjoy cannabis. And I got no problem with cannabis. But it's still listed on the stuff they drug test for. And P&G is having the devil's own time trying to find a workforce that can pass the drug test and then get a job in a factory that is going to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whose lowest entry-level position pays $17 an hour plus health care plus benefits full-time. Now, if you were one of those Trumpanzees suffering from
economic anxiety,
wouldn't you be beating a hot path to Martinsburg? Wouldn't you go online and at least put in an application for one of those jobs? No, because they don't want those jobs. Now, I've heard it said, well, we don't have to have coal jobs back. We just want some jobs. Well, that's great. But you're going to have to get clean to get them. And I think that was a lie to begin with. Because it's not about coal per se. It could be buggy whip manufacturing. It could be lightning rod installation. It could be hoop skirt petticoat construction. As long as it's what Pappy did and Grandpappy and Great-Grandpappy, so that little grandsonny boy doesn't have to ever expand his mind, or, you know, granddaughtery daughter, or her mind, to encompass a larger changing world for which they are absolutely, utterly, totally, completely, and undeniably unprepared, and in which they are equally disinterested. The myth of the economically anxious Rust Belt worker is exactly that. A myth. A myth? A myth. Yes? Otherwise, the damn fools would, as Van Jones points out, be clamoring for those clean, green, renewable, sustainable energy jobs. And yeah, Van Jones is right about another point. The coal. You can't make certain grades of high-quality steel without it. Go and watch a documentary on the ancient Japanese swordsmith masters and how they learned precisely how much carbon to work into the steel. And if you've ever seen a picture of one of those masterwork katana samurai swords, you'll see that there's a wave pattern that runs down the length of the blade, and that's where one kind of steel merges with another kind of steel to keep it from being brittle and yet at the same time be able to take a razor's edge. You can't do that without carbon. But guess what? As Van Jones said, we are sending the vast majority of the, and that's one of the things that Appalachia still has, we're sending the vast majority of our ultra-high quality, high carbon content, metallurgical quality steel, where? China! India! I'm not talking about the crap that you burn for electricity. I'm talking about the stuff you have to have if you want to make steel that is going to be fit for its intended purpose. Because the coal companies don't give a shit about America. The coal company executives care about the coal company executives. And they get their financing for the giant mountaintop removal sites from banks that ain't here. Deutsche Bank, Commerzbank, Credit Agricole. RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland. UBS, we all BS, right? No. And those financial institutions get their money on the front end, and they don't give a shit where the coal goes. But if we want that clean, green, renewable, sustainable energy economy, Van Jones is right. It needs to stay in the ground until it gets used here. Because that's not what the majority of coal is in the world. The stuff that you get—it's rare. It's valuable. The price—I mean, you can look it up. Look up the price differential between a ton of thermal coal, steam coal, and a ton of metallurgical coal. It's a broad gap. So I've come to the conclusion, I switch off when I hear, any time now, if I hear about
economic anxiety,
I immediately beep. It's just a test tone to me. Because it's noise without any content. It's a carrier with no data. It's a stream with no packets passing. There's no there there. It's a made up bullshit excuse to try to provide cover for people who are too fucking stupid to participate in a modern economy. And, you know, Stephen Moore said, well, you know, it's not the professors who suffer. Yeah, it's not Stephen Moore who suffers either. He can sit there and spout that ignorant horse shit until the cows come home, and he'll get a raise. That's what he's paid to do over at that wingnut welfare think tank he works for. His only purpose in life is to agree with whatever it is that tiny-handed Geezer Disgustus, declares he wants.
By the way, you all keep talking
Let's talk about
clean energy. We have a clean energy. It's called natural gas.
No! Natural gas is not clean energy. And again, he knows that. But he is paid to lie to the ugly people. Because they just want to be lied to, and as long as they get lied to, they will do whatever he and the others like him want them to do. Hey, pull that little finger out of your butt and wipe it under your nose. Okay, can we dance now?
It's the reason the United States has reduced its carbon emissions more than any other country.
Let's talk about
that. So are you including natural gas?
Here's what I love. You guys can't have it both ways, sir. Do you like fracking and natural gas, or do you like coal? Because the reason...
I think we should do both.
And but natural gas is putting the coal industry out of business.
This is a sort of nonsense. Got away with the whole campaign. You cannot be for fracking, which is drop the price of natural gas below coal and put a bunch of coal miners out of work, say you want more fracking and more coal. That's like saying you want more water and more fire.
Well,
in the
but
same
wait a
thing.
Minute. You're right that the low natural gas prices really hurt the coal industry. You know what else it's killing? It's killing the wind industry.
Well, that's
wind.
That's a complete non sequitur. That's a total evasion of the point that Van Jones made. There never was, and there never has been, and there ain't now, an EPA Obama war on coal. The fracking industry put the shiv between the ribs of the pure coal miners. And once again, it takes a hell of a lot less labor to run a fracking operation than it does to mine coal. So there's another net gain over in the capitalist halls of sacrifice. Because the goal is always fewer workers. Read an article the other day about Panera Bread. We've got one of those in Beckley, oddly enough. It's two doors down from Jesus Burger, there where you get a Bible verse on your milkshake cup. Panera Bread is in the forefront of figuring out how to not have anybody working for them. So that it's, what did they call those things in the 50s and 60s in big cities? You'll see them in movies. Automats, where you just move your tray down and you reach in and you pull out the tuna fish sandwich. Right. I've seen automated sushi bars. where there's just a conveyor belt of sushi that rolls around and you take what you like. The goal kind of makes you think about Skynet, really. The goal of capitalism is to not employ people. The goal of Milton Friedman economic, predatory, anarcho-Randian capitalism is to make money with no labor costs while paying no taxes. Because if you can ever get there, that means once you get over the little tiny hump of your materials cost, everything's just pure profit for the corporation. Yay! And so that's another reason that fracking whips the ass of the coal industry.
Wind is five times more expensive than natural gas. I mean, literally five times more expensive per kilowatt hour. Why would we use a highly inefficient form of energy? And by the way, we have another one, nuclear power. I don't see any of your friends on the left talking about nuclear power. And nuclear power emits no carbon emissions.
And nobody on the panel with him there at Chicken Noodle News just reached over and slapped the shit out of him when nuclear power emits no carbon emissions. No, it's the other things that it emits when, you know, your average Chernobyl or Fukushima goes down, Three Mile Island, or tunnel collapses in Hanford, Washington. It never right.
Can I just say, I still don't have an answer to the question of.
Yes.
Why withdrawing from this treaty means that the United States private sector will lose out on a whole bunch of jobs.
I'll tell you this. You will have four things that happen. States, cities, tribes, and some industries will try to push forward anyway. What matters, though, is if you have a clear market signal that if you're going to build out your energy sector around the world, or if you're going to build out your energy sector in the United States, that you're going to have to do it in a carbon-constrained way. That gives you a more solid target in the market.
What other industry has that? What other industry in the world has that kind of market?
You just said, hold on a second. You just said, and the only thing I agree with you so far all day, sir, is that energy is special. Right. Energy is the most important.
I don't know what kind of check Van Jones gets for this. But it better be a big one. Because the simple act of sitting next to Stephen Moore and not just periodically punching him in the mouth would almost any intelligent person would require something on the order of a monumental act of human will and endurance and dedication. And they've been trotting out this little Stephen Moore jackass, and everywhere he goes, he gets his clock cleaned. But it doesn't matter, because whether he convinces intelligent people or not is of no moment. The only thing that matters is if he manages to get the ugly people to do what he wants them to do by lying to them and telling them they're not ugly, that they don't have their index finger jammed up their nose to the middle knuckle and their other index finger halfway to their tonsils via their rectums. Sorry for the graphic imagery, but I think it's called for. And there is so much of this unmitigated stupid. Some of it is the fault remember, some of this is the fault of the people who book these programs on the 24-hour news cycle channels. Again, from CNN, somebody booked Robert Reich, brilliant human being, opposite Jeffrey Lord, Trump lickspittle. That didn't work out. And on the same panel, again, son of a bitch, Stephen Moore. This guy's like a wingnut photo bomb. But even Stephen Moore didn't call coal
the fuel of the future. Future, 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 future.
Jeffrey Lord did. Now, to be fair, he was bogarting from the now senior senator from the state of West Virginia. Because, as I mentioned, Joe Manchin, actually, he said wind and solar might be the
fuel of the future.
Future, future, future.
But that we need coal now. And so, Steve in New York, in answer to your question, I don't know. I don't know. Randy in PA says, I always wondered if the Rand in Ayn Rand had anything in common with the Rand Corporation that Daniel Ellsberg was a part of. I kind of doubt it, because that wasn't her name in the first place. It was some Russian affair. Say what you will about the Bolsheviks, but they figured out a way to get her out of their country and foisted her on us. Yep. Ron in Raleigh, query, hey, Bob, no workers, no money, no customers. Exactly how does this economic model work? Well, the robots make all the stuff, and what's that economic theory of profit making from South Park? I know somebody knows it, but it ends with, I haven't figured out that part yet. But to be fair, it's not zero employment. It's as near zero as they can get in terms of human beings and paying them as little as they can get away with. At least until they get Skynet built. Remember the dystopian future portrayed in Blade Runner? That. Dr. Tyrell seemed to be doing pretty well for himself. But everybody else seemed to be in the shit, and by the time the movie was over, you weren't sure if the whole goddamn world was replicants. Plus Skynet. It's not, It's not the most rosy of futures, and it deserves more. I guess some people are thinking about it, but it deserves more than it gets. Because it's going to be the difference between a living wage and a living is going to become more and more starkly apparent the less people are needed to do work. And not just to go hammer and tongs on the coal industry, but there's a classic case in point. Doesn't take a lot of people to mine coal anymore. Just doesn't. Ah, thank you. Well, I try to learn something new every day. Thank you, Randy and PA. The mathematical concept of a number that is as close to zero as possible is epsilon. The Greek letter epsilon. Is it epsilon or upsilon? Epsilon looks like an E. Upsilon looks like a Y with curvy ends. Sort of. I'll try to remember that. So, here we are, and thank you very kindly to Anatole in the chat room. Anatole got us started. We now have only $265 to go to finish the week and the first 2 days of June to the good. Thank you. Thank you, Anatole, very, very kindly. I am going to be so glad to get this computer built. I'm not in the chat room right now, and I'm surprised I haven't gotten... surprised I haven't gotten a note going, Bob, where are you? Well, I'm trying to get back into the chat room. Because the production machine is pretty close to pining for the fjords. If you want to help out with keeping the horn on the air, you know where to go. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, the Contribute tab. The sooner we get this taken care of, the sooner I don't have to mention it anymore. You know, Mr. Soros, I would love to never have to mention it again. If only you cared. All right, break, and then we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In the middle of late last night, I was sitting on a curb. I didn't know what about, but I was feeling quite disturbed. A street sweeper came whistling by, he was bouncing every step. It seemed strange how good he felt, so I asked him while he swept. He said, it's my job to be cleaning up this mess, and that's enough reason to go for me. It's my job to be better than the rest, and that makes a day for me. I got an uncle who owns a bank. He never had anyone to love, never had no one to care. He always seemed kind of sad to me, and I asked him why that was. And he told me it's because in my contract there's this clause that says it's my job to be worried after death. That's the thing people respect in me. Now I've been lazy most all my songs and sleeping late. I've done purely by mistake. And street sweepers can smile and feel upset, but sometimes I still, the lights go on and the stage and the song hits home, and you feel that sweat. It's my job, different than the rest, and that's enough a reason to go for a mixer up and break for me. It's my job to be cleaning up this mess better than the rest, and that made for me.
Yeah, Steve from Georgistan, that's Jimmy Buffett from the One Particular Harbor album. A song by Shoals native Mac McAnally, though. It's my job. And it is, of course, Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you very kindly to Charlene. We've only got $230 now to raise to get to the end of the evening. Thank you. Thank you very much, Charlene. Let's see, Silent R. Lamar says fruitcake one day, Bob. Oh, I've got that out. I'm a parrot head. Yep. So let's, stop the shilly-shallying about and run over to the, Horn Malloy Skype chat group, which anymore is pretty much just the Horn Skype chat group, and, moderator Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Yo, Bob, I missed the last half hour. I was busy outside. I just posted a picture in the chat, in Skype chat.
Yeah?
That's my new circle driveway.
Oh, I must get the chat box open. Very nice. Oh, that's lovely.
Well, you see that bobcat sitting there?
Yep.
Well, we hooked a chain on the lathe, and the lathe is no longer in the shop. So, Ron, if you're listening, the lathe is going away.
Does the lathe have a home to go to?
Yes, it does.
Oh, good.
Because he just came 45 minutes earlier, and I told him I have to be out by 4 o'clock, be back in the house. So we loaded up one of the motor and the transmission part, and we'll go to the lathe. It's pretty heavy, and some bearings that go to the belt system, and put it on his truck, and he hauled those off. And I'm really happy because
I probably frees up some space, doesn't it?
Oh, a lot of space. I'm getting cleaned up some of the stuff I had projects I was gonna do. I had a bunch of wood in the shop, and I was doing some other projects, but I got that all out, and I'm going to come in there and pressure wash where the lathe had been sitting for all these many years, because I think it came in here maybe in 1969 from my uncle's shop in Grass, in Nevada City.
Wow. So how long did it take, and how much back-breaking, sweaty labor was involved?
No, we just hooked a chain to the bobcat. Bobcat drove right into the man cave. And he had a long chain. We hooked it onto the lathe, and he was able to drive into the man cave far enough where I could hook the chain on. And then he just drug it across the concrete till we got to the lip of the door.
Did the lathe have no latent functionality to it? I mean, I've got this vision of it just sort of. I mean, was it on rollers or?
No, it was just solid steel legs sitting on the top of the. Excuse me. I should put a picture in there so you can. That's the neat thing about Skype. No, we just drug it to the door, and then we put a piece of plywood with some boards under it.
Oh, just sort of skidded it?
And you skidded it right out on the plywood, and then it's on top of those boards, and he was able to skid it right out of the shop, out of the way.
So do you have plans for the empty space?
I'm going to turn the welder around. It's been sitting right in front of the electrical panel. And I'll have to send you a picture later and let you know.
Cool.
Well, there is the lathe sitting in the yard. See, it's on the plywood.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
But I'm happy that I got this project. And I'm happy to report there's no evidence of any rats anymore.
Maybe they've finally learned. They met their match.
I hope so, but I left the chat, the traps out, the electronic chat. The zapper trap got a cockroach the other day.
Well, that's one last ancestor for the race that'll evolve 2 millions of years from now and be 6 feet tall and worship us as gods.
Oh yeah, after we were all wiped out from global warming.
Yeah, after we wipe ourselves out.
Well, I won't be around. I think I'll.
But we'll leave the planet. We will leave the planet as enough of a filth pit that it'll be perfect for cockroaches.
I'll live long enough to see some more floods and some more hurricanes and some more typhoons, waste countries. Did you see any of the pictures from Sri Lanka the other day?
Yeah. You mean the climate change that isn't happening?
Yeah. The flood there. Now, if Obama was been in, I bet you we would have had an aircraft carrier or one of those helicopter carriers sent over there to assist them.
Yeah, very likely. But by being alive, those Sri Lankans can't make any money for Donald Trump. So, you know, fuck them.
Yeah.
It's all fake news, guys. It's not happening. Don't believe your eyes. Don't believe the pictures on the television, Sparky. It's not happening. Climate change is a Chinese hoax. It's all doctored, just like we never landed on the moon, okay?
Are you saying there's no Santa Claus?
There is a Santa Claus. That's true, Jeremy. Yeah. But climate change is not real, okay? You can't believe your eyes. I'll tell you, you know, with the moron in chief, I think he's, you know, he's now, by getting out of the Paris Accords, he has increased the job prospects for, you know, horse and buggy manufacturers, the whale oil industry, as well as the coal industry. So we're just going to see those industries take off like crazy, you know. He's got such great foresight, you know?
He's got the whale oil in his tiny hands. He's got the whale oil in his tiny hands. Never mind. Okay, no more singing.
Oh, Bob?
Yes, Sparky?
I had a contact request earlier, but I'm waiting for the person to answer me so I can make sure he's not brain.
Oh, it probably is brain.
But he won't answer my IM, so I'm not going to have him.
Yeah, don't. Because I got to thinking about it, and I you know, look. Let's talk about this. Is there any way you can have voted for Trump and not be a Trumpanzee? And not, as a matter of default, have gone over to the right-wing asshole side?
No.
Bob?
Yes?
I think the answer to that is actually yes, you can, because I've talked to more than one member of the community on a, you know, Skype chat, like, you know, outside of, you know, after the show. And they indicated that they voted for Trump just because they were sick of the two parties and they wanted to see chaos reign and that, you know, he's given them exactly what they wanted. They basically are sort of, I guess you could call them anarcho-greens or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so they deliberately voted to fuck America.
Pretty much, yeah. But they're not necessarily Trumpanzees. They think the guy's an idiot, but they, yet they want the guy to be president. I mean, I have a hard time, and this is a very smart person. I'm not going to name him, but
I think I know who you're talking about, but I have no patience for that.
Yeah.
Because it's the same mindset. It's the that same, Susan Sarandon mindset, you know, that says, well, you know, Trump will bring on the apocalypse.
And did Susan say that?
You know, even the most beautiful lotus has to grow from filth and mud.
Jeez. So I guess the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade was out in force there, certainly in those three key states that Hillary lost by 77,000 votes total.
Well, I mean, we really are just going to keep talking about this and keep rehashing it until we come to something resembling an understanding. In particular, in Wisconsin, we know for a fact that Scott Walker's Koch brothers inspired voter suppression law had a profound impact on keeping people away from the polls. It is possible that absent that law, Hillary Clinton might have been able to win Wisconsin. But it doesn't take away from the fact that a shitload of people in this country are so either negligently or willfully ignorant that they were willing to disbelieve everything that man said and believe a few of the lies that he did tell and hand him the government. You know, we bitch and complain about gridlock, but sometimes gridlock is as good as you can get. Wouldn't it be nice to have somebody in the White House who could veto any of this hateful shit that came her way and stare them down right in the eyeballs and tell them to go fuck themselves? I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, it certainly would, Bob. And the way our government's constructed is all you have to do is hold one, you know, basically one
branch,
you know,
one part of one branch,
Senate or the House, you know, just like the Republicans did to basically screw up Obama's agenda in his first term, you know, and even so, he was able to get quite a bit done positively, you know. Yeah.
But again, you've got that portion of the people, the voting public. Who, for instance, I mean, you know, somebody driving along with a rusted out Chevy Vega and a bumper sticker, Trump, make America great again. And of course, they'll support you. They fully support the Trump budget because, you know, they want that death tax done away with because they might be a millionaire someday and they want to be able to pass them millions along to the little Cletuses in the future.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
Nobody has a Chevy Vega anymore. Those things were built to self-destruct. I had one. I had a 71 Vega when I was in the Air Force. Because it was a cheap car and I needed a car. And my 65 Mustang got adopted by my sister when I went in the Air Force. So my parents said, well, we'll help you buy a car as soon as you get out of.
Hey, guys, I'm holding on to my Ford Pinto, okay? So stop making fun of the Vega. Don't tell us what cars to own.
Yeah, y'all can all go to blazes. My Gremlin runs great.
Shoot. my Vega decided to die after we went to a thing up in Lewiston, California, and you're coming back by Whiskeytown Lake, and the only way I could get down, get back down to Old Shasta is where I live, is coast down the hills. Turn it off and coast down the hills, let it cool off, because if I tried to turn it on again, it'd just instantly overheat.
Yeah, my sister had a lemon yellow, ironically, appropriately, Chevy Vega. And, you know, every time that thing wound up to where she needed to shift gears, it sounded like it was going to throw a rod. And I think eventually it did.
Well, they had an aluminum block on it with the downfall on it. That's that one. It warped on my car.
A lot of the postal vehicles you see on the road, especially the older ones, are still using Gremlin engines.
Really?
Yes, sir. So, digest that.
The little square jeepy looking ones with the with the steering wheel on the British side?
Yes. They use Gremlin engines.
I remember when growing up, they put a bunch of my local postal service put a lot of those on up for sale. I wanted one so bad. I didn't care how it ran.
Trying to get parts for it is ridiculous. Unless you know somebody, it's very difficult. Before Karen was issued an updated vehicle, she purchased one of those old Jeeps that you're referring to, and it had a Gremlin engine in it.
What is that, like a three-cylinder?
You know, I'm not sure, Bob, but I know it was made, what was that, in the early 70s?
Oh, yeah.
And rather than, you know, just buying everybody new vehicles, they would just keep patching these Gremlin engines, and essentially that's what they keep doing. You know, that's their government hard at work for you, taking care of the little people.
They got quite a few of them here in my town. They all seem to keep on running.
Yeah,
I see one or two of them on a trailer being hauled to some maintenance yard somewhere once in a while.
As Bob knows, Karen's constantly breaking down, especially in the summertime.
Oh, and that thing's got to be an absolute oven.
Yeah, tin can out in the sun.
Yeah, not they're not air conditioned, are they?
No.
No.
They provide them with those little mini fans. How generous of them! You know, the dashboard mounted fans.
Yeah, that's all they got, man. 110 degree weather out here. Nothing stops the mailman, though.
Yeah, Karen says off.
I've got a female driver that delivers to us.
Hey, speaking of dud vehicles, I had I once owned a AMC Matador. Barely made it up the Continental Divide when I moved out to California from Iowa. It was leaking oil at the rate of about a quart every 40 miles.
Jesus! That's not a leak, oil. That's a spill!
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And,
what, was your car named the Valdez?
Yeah, well, it could have been. Yeah, I guess it could have been. Would it surprise you if I told you where I bought it? Rick's Autos?
Well, you deserved everything you got then, now, didn't you?
Do I get a cowbell for that, Bob?
I was reaching for it before you said it. God, I bet you walk into diners called Eats too, don't you? Or Moms. There's... I bet you play poker with guys named Doc.
That's right. I mean, we must have infuriated the people that were behind us going up the Continental Divide because, you know, we were going so slow, probably no more than 20 or 25 miles an hour, even in low gear, because the engine was not well, obviously. And, boy, you know, it's a narrow roadway. I think it's only like maybe two lanes each way, or maybe, you know, I'm not really sure. I forget. Maybe it's one lane each way at one point. But, you know, that thing was just that was burning oil like there's no tomorrow, and
laying down a James Bond smoke screen.
That's right.
So no concerts tonight, no hot dates, no nothing, Rick?
No, not tonight. I shot some pool yesterday with my lady, and we're going to go see Judy Collins at a small theater in Pasadena called The Rose tomorrow.
Well, I thought about you a couple of days ago when I saw that that Dead and More show at the Hollywood Bowl preempted by a bomb threat.
Oh, geez. Whoa. So they didn't even have that show then?
No, they had it. They shepherded the band off stage long enough to say, figure out if there was, and then Bob Weir came back out and said, "All clear, I guess," and launched into some Dead standard.
Yeah, they have some really good musicians in that band, Dead and Company. They have the former Dead members, but also members
I think
of some other
John
bands.
Mayer was playing with him that night.
Right. I read that. Yeah. He's very talented in his own right, you know, and lends more of a pop influence to them. So I think some of the True Believers were, I'm sure, upset that he was part of the band, you know. But I have kind of one more funny story to tell. I know several weeks back I told you all I was going to go see a documentary, An Inconvenient Sequel.
Yes.
By Al Gore on a Friday night at the Hollywood at the Greek, I think it was. Yeah, it was at the Greek. And so I stay home from work that day, work from home, and I got my son. We're headed out there, and I got the tickets in my hand, and I'm reading it, and it's like, oh damn, it says Saturday. Today's Friday. So the show was the show was on Saturday, and I couldn't go because I had already made plans for a date on Saturday. So obviously I had to stick to the date and not go to the show.
Well,
so I never got to see it.
Well, you could have given me the tickets. Damn you!
Sorry, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
I didn't even know.
No, you didn't know. You didn't think. You see, you inconsiderate bastard.
You wouldn't want Tracy. That was the day that it rained all day. It looked like it was going to be rained out. And
did
it only
you
got,
ask? Did you ask?
You have frozen
did
your
you,
ass off there.
Oh
Tracy.
No! I think no.
55 degrees.
No.
Rick, your pettifogging is availing you not.
No.
Sorry, Tracy.
Did you ask?
Sorry, Tracy. I didn't. You know, I was.
You got an inconvenient truth going with you that you're an inconvenient liar.
Okay, I rest my case because I'm just digging stop. A hole. The first rule of hole digging is to stop digging, right?
Right, just stop. Hi, y'all. How you doing?
Hey, Tracy.
I was just sitting here listening, and I was just going to sit back and be quiet, and then he said that. I'm like, what?
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, everybody. I was just sitting here listening because I had to go into AAA, and I was just going to listen while I was waiting for, you know. And I'm like, wait, you mean I could have went to sit at the Greek? And I love the Greek Theater. Love it. I could have went to see a movie about, you know, basically the fact that we have a president that is an asshole. Oh, my God. What was his reasoning? I know you probably guys already talked about this shit, but what did he say? I'm
representing Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Yes, I'm representing Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh voted for Hillary.
Yeah, and what's more, 80%. Pittsburgh has a humongous high-tech, clean, green energy sector.
Right.
And the mayor of Pittsburgh stepped up to the microphone in the last 24 hours and said, "We're going to keep doing what we're doing, no matter what that asshole says."
That's right. In fact, he put out an executive order stating that, Bob.
And we're about and Cali, we're basically, even though we fucked ourselves in L.A. by voting, I know we had a special election a few weeks back for the school board, and the Koch brothers and the DeVos people won. We elected two new board members that are pro school choice and vouchers. I mean, they were some big money in this election. So Now, I don't know how education is going to be looking in L.A., but it was an ugly election. It really was.
You got to dip the toe in somewhere. Might as well get started in L.A.
And I know, and I was praying that the two people, I mean, that were running, you know, that were, you know, anti-school vouchers and charter schools and all that were going to win, but they lost. So we're fucked. I'm not going to say completely fucked. I think we still, hopefully there's enough members of the school board that they could stand strong, but I don't know.
Tracy. Yes,
uh-huh.
I just want to let you know I did not vote in that election. But before you get mad,
you're not in the district, so how could you couldn't have voted in
the district. There you go.
See, why are you trying to fuck with me? You live in live in the city of Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. You're in the valley. What? That's part of the city.
God.
Valley is the city. No, I'm in unincorporated LA County.
You're in unincorporated LA County. You would see you were already, I was forgiving you already for not giving me the tickets. Now you're messing with me. I already know where you live. Come on.
Okay, that's true. You do. Sorry. I was just playing with you, Tracy. So how's school going?
It's going well. I'm getting all A's on my assignment. I have I'm behind because I started a new business. I'm doing travel, and I'm getting ready. Hey Rick, you want to go to Cuba?
Absolutely.
Before he fucks that up. But seriously, I'm booking. If anybody's interested, I'm booking a cruise for Alex's 30th birthday for next year. We're leaving April the 30th. To March the 4th. I'm sorry, May 4th. It's four, 5 nights. And I'll give you information, but it's 5 nights. It's overnight in Cuba, and it stops in the Bahamas as well.
Oh, and I've never been to either one of those countries. Yeah.
So
that sounds like fun.
I'll email you some more information. But
okay.
Yeah, we are in the midst of... everybody knows that I have my own legal issues. So I've been shopping for expungement attorneys. Man, that shit is high. So I've been checking out expungement clinics and stuff. So I was contacting immigration attorneys for Canada because since I have a felony, I can't go to Canada.
Oh, right? Geez.
Do you know it will cost?
Wait, you can't even visit?
I can't visit. Remember I told you the story what happened to me when I tried to get into Canada? I was fucking detained for 3 hours. They were going to, they threatened to arrest me. Jeez. And throw me in jail because they was like, well, you were entering illegally. I'm like, okay, that may be true, but I didn't know because I've been not all over the world, but I've been to other countries where this was not an issue. I had no idea. That it would be an issue for me to go to Canada with a felony. I'm sorry. So I decided to start, you know, looking up lawyers in Canada, immigration lawyers, because I could do the process myself. It'll cost me $200. There's the RTT, which is TRP rather, which is temporary residence permit. And that'll cost me $200, and it's good for like 2 or 3 years. And then there's something, criminal rehabilitation, which is once they grant, and that could take up to a year for them to approve it. And, of course, I could do it myself, but if I do anything wrong, the process starts all over again. Do you know how much they're asking for a Canadian immigration attorney to take care of this?
$10,000?
No, half that.
Okay. Still, that's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk of money. And so I have to decide how badly do I want to go to Canada.
Well, you're still in California. It'll be okay.
Tracy, mm-hmm. I take it you've looked at the web to find out the requirements to get a conviction expunged and so forth. And
yeah, it doesn't even requirement. It because I asked, and it doesn't even matter if I have it expunged or anything.
Oh,
I mean, because this conviction is 20 some odd years old. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does. Even if I have it expunged, I still have to go through this process.
It's still going to haunt you. That's ridiculous, man.
She's right. My uncle back in the early 90s in Vermont, his girlfriend's ex-girlfriend's brother reported him for growing pot plants. He was convicted. I think it was classified as either a misdemeanor or a felony. Actually, it was a misdemeanor because our governor this last election cycle pardoned everybody. Well, he and my mother and stepfather went to go across skiing in Canada and the Quebec province this winter, and he got held for 4 hours on that misdemeanor because he didn't tell them about it, even though it was expunged. And they threatened to, like, throw jail, said he was crossing illegally. They could classify as a felony themselves. He could be in big trouble. What happened? They said they didn't give a fuck. It didn't matter. And he said,
it didn't matter.
In the next, what do I do the next time? He said, we still won't let you in.
Yep.
I have two. They're not America.
Tracy, who knows a little bit about being Canadian.
Yeah.
Tracy doesn't need a Canadian immigration lawyer. Find someone down there to expunge her record there. And I agree with Asa.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. But even though I still have to get the, because of the felony, I still have to get the, I still have to apply for the temporary resident permit regardless. Yeah, because I looked it up. I still have to apply for it, regardless. It's like I said, I still have to apply for it. I still have to go through the Canadian Mounted Police and the immigration, the whole shebang. Because I looked it
up. He told me felonies never disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
it's,
they still might even. That's why I'm like, how bad? Because the only reason why I'm looking into. The only reason why I'm looking into this is because Jan, I've always wanted to do an Alaskan cruise. And unfortunately, they stop where? In Canada.
And you don't get off the boat.
I just don't get off the boat.
Just sit in the casino, order a drink.
But it's so stupid. It is so. See, here's the thing. Now, if I could find, because now here's the deal. Now, I know we have listeners in Canada. Now, if I could find between Ron and whoever lives in Canada, if they have friends that are immigration attorneys that will not charge me a small fortune to do this, then I'm good. Because, you know, I'm willing to pay for this. I know there's work involved, but I think they're just charging me because they can charge me. Because they can, you know, you could charge whatever that you want to charge. I mean, I used to work for an attorney. I know how much work goes into stuff and how much of it's, you know, and Rick, you're an attorney and you know how much is value added and how much you know how much you would charge somebody that's a friend, and you know how much you would charge somebody that just walked in off the street.
You charge the friend twice as much.
Right, exactly.
Because they're going to be like, twice as much of a pain in the ass.
That's true.
And they're going to be a former friend once they get your bill.
Right.
Right. Right.
Because,
right.
See, there's this lawyering bell curve. And it's especially noteworthy in, like, divorces, personal injury, and criminal cases. And the left side of the bell curve on the flat side starts out with, oh, my God, my world's coming to an end. How will I ever possibly deal with this? And then you start up the left side of the bell curve, and it's meets the lawyer. This lawyer is the smartest lawyer in the world. I've got Clarence fucking Darrow. And it goes up, 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 lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. Wow, he won my case. Oh, my God. I didn't think anybody could do this. Holy shit. And down at the other end, on the right side of the bell curve, it's labeled, fucking crook. He took my money. I could have done it myself.
Right.
And that was, that was years and years and years ago in a book for young lawyers just entering practice. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a cartoon or anything. It was, this is what your life is going to be.
So, I mean, like I said, it's up to me. how seriously I, how badly I mean, and as a travel agent, you know, the best way to sell travel is when you've gone somewhere and you can, I've been here, you know, this is a wonderful place, woo-da-woo. And everybody's like, fuck Canada. Yes, it's easy to say that, but I've always wanted to go to Canada. I want to go to, you know, I know, is it worth $5,000? I don't know.
Isn't there somewhere else on earth you'd like to see with that $5,000, Tracy?
You're right. I mean, like I said,
goddamn, for that $5,000, you can climb every pyramid in Central America.
You're right. How much I could do with $5,000 for the horn?
Well, no, I would never say something like that.
But I said it.
Tracy, you could go to Antarctica with that.
At least the part that hasn't slid, you know, the front hasn't fallen off.
The part that hasn't slid into the ocean.
Or Greenland. If you want to go on a cruise, just go to Greenland.
That's true.
You know, or Iceland. Iceland.
I could just fucking fly to Alaska.
I'm trying to think. Holland America Lines. You know, it's not kitschy like those awful Carnival and Viking. No, it's sedate. It's well appointed. It's nice. You fly to England. You get on the boat. You do the Baltic. You stop in Norway and Finland and Sweden and St. Petersburg even. And you have a damn fine time.
Well, see, the main reason about Alaska...
And there's no risk of running into any Palins.
Well, the whole main reason about Alaska is Jan's family. I don't know if I ever told you guys this. Jan's family are some of the original Jewish settlers from the old country to Alaska. And...
Jan's an Alaska homegirl?
Her family is, yes. Her uncle was the first senator from Alaska. And her mom is buried there. They were big pimping in Alaska back in the day. So
my oldest sister is an Alaska snowbird.
So she wants to go and, you know, she used to go to Alaska every summer when she was a kid. So she just wants to take me there to show me around.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Okay, that makes sense then. Okay. But you are getting some valuable advice from Brother Deacon Asa. The immigration lawyer thing is a racket. Tracy just needs to fill out the appropriate forms and submit them, and that $5,000 fee doesn't guarantee jack shit.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that. Hey, let me mention a couple of things here since we're a little over halfway point of the program. I want to thank Charlie in Tennessee for jumping in. He just took us down to 2:35 to go. A little bit ago, and courtesy of Steve, Aaron, Cletus, and Twiggy, they're such good puppies. They're very good puppies. They're lovely, and Cletus has a pretty little haircut. We've got a $20 challenge on the table. Which means that if somebody else will meet it, Steve and Miss Karen and Cletus and Twiggy Cletus and Twiggy will go out in the yard and dig into their stash, and that'll take us down to under $200 to go. That'll take us down to $195 to go. That's one. Two. So I've just had, I told you in, well, here fairly soon, and it's going to be a great day here in the studio. Here fairly soon, we will have a monstrous new production computer and a new streaming computer. The former courtesy of Fab and the latter courtesy of Chris in Germany. And Fab has added on to his generosity. So getting those two things done will take care of some technical issues. And the last technical issue, which you can hear this way. You hear that?
Bob.
That's the dying channel on the mixer. Fab is willing to put forward a $500 challenge. A brand new mixer. I was talking with my friend and colleague Rick Smith the other day. New mixer is $1,200 plus shipping. So Fab is willing to put forward the $500 that'll go toward that, and that would leave something like $700 to go to finish off the mixer. If anybody wants to do that, if there's an interest. So, answering Steve and Ms. Karen and Cletus and Twiggy's challenge takes us down to $195 to go for fundraising. Separate and apart from all of that, we have an equipment fundraiser going, courtesy of Fab, and thanks kindly, tremendously kindly, to Chris in Germany as well for knocking down the streaming machine. And we could have the three most high-ticket critical elements of the studio replaced and ready to go for another 10 years. So it's worth kicking around and thinking about, and I'll put that in. And you know, you can email me if you're into it, if you're not into it, whatever. But if you want to contribute to it, just use PayPal and send me a note that says equipment fund. And we'll put that toward the new mixer. So I'm sorry to interrupt the train of thought, but I wanted to make sure that we got that out there, this being Friday on the Front Porch, and a lot of people tune in for that, and a lot of people take the podcast for it. You know, it'd be nice if Mr. Soros would just do it. But, you know, I guess not.
He stirred up some interest from Canada. I'm waiting back for an answer.
Okay.
If he wants to join.
Okay.
Stand up for Canada.
I mean, I don't think we're exactly slandering Canada.
No.
What is that noise?
Hey, no, no, hey there, what's going on?
The Great White North theme. There you go. Sorry. I'm going to really piss off some people. I'm like in a real mischievous mood for some reason, Bob.
Oh,
I think
dear.
I'm going to piss off people here.
Is it because, have you got...
I hope that brain doesn't try to attack me.
Oh, brain. Yeah, brain's already attacked you. But no, brain. Neo no, football. Brain just wants to attack me. That's, yeah.
There is Steve.
So, Bob, Kathy Griffin.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting worked up about that.
I'm okay. I am too, because I'm.
Well, with a caveat, Tracy. Because see, I happen to remember when they used to put nooses around effigies of Barack Obama, and then set fire to them.
And the posters of him with the witch doctor bone through his nose.
Or what
I
about
mean,
the
come
using
on,
his fake picture as target practice?
Yeah, that too. All this feigned outrage has just got me pissed off over the top.
Or Ronald Reagan feeding a baby bottle to a chimpanzee with Obama's face on it.
Right.
Well, you know she's suing. She's got a lawyer now, and because it's hitting her career.
What's her name? That famous lawyer.
Yeah, Gloria. Is it Gloria Allred?
No, Bloom. Bloom.
Okay.
Lisa Bloom.
That's Gloria's daughter, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloom.
They did a press conference today. It was on Facebook.
They only take cases that are going to give them FaceTime. I think that's their policy. They only want high profile stuff. You know, for the most part.
Well, she's on the record as saying he's done mess with the wrong redhead. So we'll see. This could get interesting.
Well, and the idea that now if if Donnie Dipshit had wanted to say this was very upset, tweet out that this was very upsetting for, you know, a little Boron, that's one thing. But he said, my children are having a hard time with it. Well, there are photographs out there of Udi and Cootie posing with jungle African savanna animals that they have blown the brains out of.
Oh, and Lisa Bloom got on their case today about shooting Donnie Jr. shooting, if he can take time off for shooting leopards and elephants or something. She said.
So this is a tempest in a teapot. And frankly, if little Boron thought that was actually Daddy's head, well, I think we've answered a lot of questions about little Boron.
Little Boron doesn't
little
have a
Boron?
Clue.
Is that his new name?
Yeah, he never even seen it, Bob. Let's get real. Come on.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, hey, Les. Back off the juice a little bit, would you? You're way hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, back. Just hold on. Let me move the mic. I'm in the truck right now. I got the headset on.
Ah, okay. Much better.
Yeah, much better.
That better? Okay, yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to blast somebody's ears off. Hey, I got a question about this. Can't Barack Obama, now that he's a private citizen, turn around and sue Trump for inciting the birther movement and basically leading to all of those the same thing that Trump is pulling about, oh, this is harming Barron. Well, can he say the same thing about Sasha Malia and turn around and sue him?
Rick?
Yeah, I missed that. As far as suing for the birther thing?
No, I'm saying it's not... Trump got out there and said that, oh, this hurt Barron, what Kathy Griffin did, the image of holding his head up.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, and if that's the case that Trump wants to make, and I'm sure he's going to counter sue Kathy Griffin once this thing gets going. So can't Barack Obama, on the flip side of that, if he counter sues Kathy Griffin, can Obama come in and say, well, you've injured me?
Well, that would be a different. That's a different lawsuit, different parties. That's the first thing. Second thing is
it's all on Facebook.
Well, yeah. The second thing is Obama's a public figure. It's very difficult for a public figure to sue someone else for, let's say, defamation of character or
right under the under the Falwell versus Hustler standard and the New York Times versus Sullivan. Right.
Yeah. So. You have to have actual malice. But, I mean, you know, if you think about it, Obama might be able to establish actual malice because Trump's never really believed that.
But and another thing that's worth remembering, and this goes back to something con law too in law school. There are two things. One, in cases like that, there's a preference for summary judgment, which means the case never gets to a jury. But if the case gets to a jury, what constitutes actual malice is a jury question. So a jury could determine that, for instance, Donald Trump acted with actual malice toward Barack Obama. Do you get my point, Rick?
Yes, I do. Yeah. You're right. That is a jury issue. It's a question of fact as to the existence of actual malice. What actual malice is, you'd have to the court would have to give the jury instructions to define the term, but then it would be up to the jury to determine the absence or presence of the the requirements for that. Standard to be met, basically. If that makes any sense.
It does. And maintaining the same thread, Rick, I don't think Trump can execute, or however you want to word it, executive privilege next week when Comey testifies, being he's always already on the record of talking to reporters about what he already said. Do you?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this has been covered on other shows, and I mean, clearly he's waived executive privilege by that extensive interview with Lester Holt.
Exactly.
About his firing of Comey and his reasons for doing so and what Comey allegedly told him. So if nothing else, that has certainly opened the door as to those areas of questioning with regard to Comey.
So if there's any collusion going on, next week should be very interesting, shouldn't it?
I think so. I think so. You know, I'm looking forward to it. There's going to definitely be some fireworks. And, there was some talk about maybe Trump seeking a court order preventing Comey from testifying based on executive privilege. But that's not going to go anywhere, you know?
Well, that would be an interesting fight, though, because it's all that executive privilege crap that led ultimately to the downfall of Richard Nixon.
Right, his refusal to turn over the tapes, or at least his initial refusal to turn over the tapes. And once they were turned over, we realized why he didn't want to turn them over. which again, this tells me that Trump's dogged determination to try to end this Russia probe tells me that there is something there, you know, where there is smoke, there usually is fire. Not always, but usually there is. And in this instance, you know, I really have no doubt that Trump's like up to his eyeballs with the Russians. And he knew all along this was a well-coordinated
Oh, you're just ownerized. Now stop that.
Oh, Bob, what can I say? I guess I listen to your show too much. And, rather than the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade, you know? So.
Wait, is that what ownerized means?
No.
I missed that whole thing.
Ponerized is kind of a unusual word.
It's a made up word.
Oh.
Well, it is a real word though, Bob.
Well, it's a word that was made up by the guy who invented it.
Right, but it's been around for like about 70 years now or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. You can probably explain better than I can what that means, Bob, to Les. I can talk about, what is that word, covfefe? I can tell you what that means, but I can't, let Bob explain the ponerizing. Yeah.
Actually, I have no real interest in it because it's... The way it's used, the way that I make fun of it, it's just bullshit for anything that I don't, that someone doesn't agree with. If you're brought a cold cup of coffee, obviously the barista has been ponerized, assuming that you wanted your coffee hot.
Here's an excellent explanation that Steve wrote. I'm gonna steal his idea here because it is what I understand the word ponerized to mean. There was a book called Political Ponerology that came out,
in the aftermath
of World War II, to try to explain the Nazis, how they came to power, how so many people were complicit in their murder of, 6 million Jews and many other millions of other people. So I guess the word ponerology comes from the Greek term poneris, which means evil. So it's a root of that. And it's essentially the study of evil. I took a class.
Yeah, Rick, when everybody but Vladimir Putin has been ponerized, the word ceases to have its original meaning.
That's true.
Stop telling us when to feel ponerized, Bob.
There you go. I myself prefer the Appaloosan ponies, okay? Some like the Arabians, I prefer the Appaloosa because they're pretty.
I didn't know you were into horses.
I used to love horses as a kid. I don't really ride them very much, but I just like them. They're interesting. They're dumb as bricks, but they're fascinating creatures. You know, they're beautiful, fast, you know. Yeah.
Headset's about to die.
Rick, did you say you once owned an AMC?
Yeah, I owned an AMC Matador. Exactly.
I could top that. Let me tell you a quick story. Me and four other big dudes, the size of me and Bob, not to drag you into this, Bob, we were going, it's a 1971 Ford Pinto. We were going to go up to the Green Ridge Mountains to a place called Yonkers Bottom. And I stopped in at the visitor center, and I told them that I wanted to go the most scenic route. Wrong. By the time we had got there, trying to cross some of these mountainous hills, three of us had to get out and actually push this Pinto over the peak of the mountain to get there. Oh, that's a true story.
Oh, my God.
So
That's like the old days when, when a wheel broke on the stagecoach, people would have to, lift one side up and, push it forward,
Yeah. We had this thing packed down, crap tied onto the roof and everything. And we did. We had to get out and push it. And I'm not making this up. We had to get out and push it over the peak of the mountain. So that sticks with me.
Well, in snowy weather, you'd have to used to get out and push your car out of a snowdrift or, what have you. But yeah, having to push it up a steep grade is definitely definitely unusual. Let's just say,
Fred Flintstone style.
Well, at least it had wheels as opposed to square wheels like some of their vehicles had.
And it did get us there. Once we got it over the top, the peak, we were on our way again.
I think when you were telling your story about the size
Hot
of
Rod
Bob,
Lincoln, this
you,
isn't
you should have modified it as the size of the old Bob, the pre yogurt Bob.
Right. Well, the pre-yogurt Bob. Sorry, Bob.
Not the slim, svelte, yogurt-eating, protein shake drinking, weed eating, sweating Bob.
28-inch waist, Bob. Yeah.
So, how much do you weigh now? How much do you weigh now, Bob?
I'm about 210.
Cool.
Damn.
Yeah, I go to Weight Watchers tomorrow because I haven't gone in 2 weeks. So. And I haven't really been exercising because my shoulder and my neck has been bothering me.
Well,
and my hip.
If we have a nice dry spell. Hey, Les.
Ooh, what's
yeah.
The
noise?
Okay. I think Sparky just muted you.
I muted him.
If we have a nice dry spell and I can just get out and be a weed-eating son of a gun every day, I may sweat myself down to 200 pounds. I'm pricing Speedos.
Woohoo!
Damn,
you're
going to
go all year on us, huh, Bob?
You'll be back in your high school pants, man, if you didn't throw them out yet.
Yeah, sorry. They've been long gone. Yeah, those bright orange nylon parachute pants just didn't make the trip.
No, stop it. No.
Can't find my members only jacket either.
28-inch waist, Bob. He's going to make it on?
No, it was 34.
Well,
high school senior.
Well,
34,
it's like
32
that red dress. It's like that red dress that I had on when I was on that game show. That man. And that was 4 months, that actually 2 months post-pregnancy. And I couldn't even get into that dress on a wing and a prayer now.
Tracy, I haven't heard about the game show, and I'd like to talk to you about it, but we can do it. We don't have to do it now. Some other time, though. I'd like to hear about it.
It's quickly, when I was 22 years old, I was in a game show called Wipeout. I won $675 and a trip to Palm Springs.
Nice.
But the backstory on that was, if you've ever been on a game show, they filmed 5 shows in one day.
Right.
And my show was the last show. Alex was a baby. He was he was actually 2 months old because they filmed it in the summer. But I had
I had been gone all day, and I was a nursing mother, and my breasts were engorged, and I was in fucking pain. Not only was I in pain, but I had
not
run.
Funny.
But it wasn't funny then, but it's fucking hilarious now. And I didn't pack enough of the pads that you wear in between, you know, to keep your nipples, you know, from, and didn't have the nipple cream, didn't have the pads to, you know, keep from leaking. And so I'm in the bathroom wishing that I had my breast pump, and stuffing my bra with toilet tissue, and that wasn't working. So I'm in pain. And I'm worried that I'm going to spring a leak on national television.
just put out the game show host's eye or something.
Right. I mean,
and I would like to interrupt just long enough to say, tell me one other radio program in America that has featured the word engorged today or in the last 30.
So,
my friends, today on the EIB, the Excellence in Broadcasting Network, we're going to discuss the engorged nipples and breasts of lactating women right here on the EIB on the Premier Radio Network.
Oh, you're killing me. Yes, we're at the price
of this. So, to add, you know, insult to injury, I'm terrified. I'm nervous as hell anyway, because I'm on a game show. Now, when you watch the show, you do not have any indication of this, right? So Bob has seen it. I mean, if you go to my Facebook page, you can see it.
I'm going to have to do that.
If you go to my Facebook page, you can, because Laurel found it. If again, Laurel, he fucking found it. You're dying. So now you have to see, now the 22-year-old girl, I won the first, because it was about, you know, the thing down. Now we get to the second round. Now at this point, I'm like, I am about to start to leak, because I feel my...
And that has got to be, you're talking about toilet tissue inside your breast. That has got to be just like this slimy, icky, squishy feeling. Am
I
correct?
Oh, my God. Oh, fucking yes. And I'm like, oh, step board of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, I fucking know geography. And so...
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. But I care. I don't care, because I just want to get off.
Out.
I just want out. So then the next one was poker hands at 2. And so then we're going back and forth, and go ahead, bitch, you just go for it. And she wins the round. But again, I didn't care. I just wanted off the fucking stage, because I knew that at any given moment, I was going to bust my breasts were going to go, and I would be, and see, this was in 1988. And so, and then I think, you know, it would have been a fucking scandal. Thank God that was before Twitter and Facebook and all this shit. But see,
CNN was up and going.
Yeah, CNN was up and going, so I might have made national news. But then
22-year-old Negress lactates on game show host. Because
I would have been a welfare queen, the whole shebang, even though I was working full time, you know, it would have been horrible. And just think, if it had happened now, if I was 22 years old now, I would have had my own fucking reality TV show.
Well, Tracy, it's actually a good thing that.
That is incredible.
That you walked off of the set, because as you know now, videotape lasts forever. You know?
Well, shit. I mean, if you got just Google that shit. Google, go on Yahoo and spell my name, Tracy, Tracee, Wipeout 1988, and you will find that shit. Find it and put it in the chat room and on.
No, Bob,
No, I don't care. It's on my Facebook page. I want the world to see it because I loved it because I'm like, oh my God. No, the best part is the best part because I sent it to my son, right? And he's like, holy crap, Mom, where did that voice come from? And I'm like, because my voice was a couple of octaves higher than it is now. And he's like, what? I've never heard that voice before. Where the hell did that voice come from? I said, and you know what my son said? My son is so funny. He's like, Mom, I know where that voice came from. That was the voice you had when you still liked white people.
It's the voice of a man still had, like, he had his balls in a vice or something, I bet.
Right. I said, no, it was the voice before. That was the 22-year-old voice. You know, I was only 4 years out of high school.
Oh,
I
man.
Life was still wonderful. You know, there was no such thing as, you know, Ronald Reagan was almost out of office. There was still hope. There was no such thing as Donald Trump. Yeah. You know, there was Donald Trump, but he was fucking in New York. Eye. Yeah. He was in New York and nobody cared about him. He was, you know, I didn't give a fuck about Donald Trump. Donald Trump was just this asshole in New York who cared about him. You know, it was the world was a different place back then than it is now.
So does it have a happy ending or is that just
no,
it?
No, it was fun. No, you know, it did have a happy ending because it was so funny until I watched it. I didn't realize, I remembered that I wanted a trip to Palm Springs, but fuck, I forgot that I had won $675. I'm like, do you know, $675 in 88 money?
That was too much drugs.
My apartment was, my rent in 88 for a one-bedroom apartment was $300 a month, dog. I could afford my rent back then.
Oh, that's awesome. So it did have a happy ending.
It did have a fucking happy ending, but I totally forgot. Oh, but like I said, I remember the pain. 29 years later, I remember.
I bet you'll never forget that,
dude. Like I still remember the pain of childbirth. You know, it's like no, but it was. But I did have a good time. But it was hilarious. I mean, it's like, and Bob, I love how you said that, Pennsylvania. Fuck you, Bob.
I'm sorry. What,
Tracy?
No, how you said Pennsylvania? How you said Pennsylvania? I was in pain, Bob. Cut a sister some slack. Come on now.
I mean, I'm sure you were thinking about the Delaware River.
I was thinking about getting the fuck off that stage and
work with me here.
I'm working. Of all those states that I could have named, New York. I mean, how did I fucking miss New York, North Carolina, South Carolina? I think it was New York was there, New Jersey,
Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
Massachusetts.
Okay,
Maryland.
Fuck off.
Connecticut. Does Connecticut? Yeah, is there? Yeah.
North and South Carolina.
Okay. You know,
Florida, Georgia.
You know what?
Delaware.
You know, okay. I know. But none of you were standing under bright lights in a red and a red poly rayon blend dress.
With your boobs about to.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't exactly breathe, does it? Under.
No! No,
and those weren't the cool, modern, energy-efficient LED stage lights either. Those were the ones that are radiant power of the fucking sun.
No, they would heat up room temperature by 20 degrees at least, man.
Well, give them your reaction when you saw the video.
Oh my God. I just typed back OMG in all caps.
It was hilarious.
Even though it's a YouTube video, you get sucked in. And so I'm sitting there going, don't say Pennsylvania. Don't say Pennsylvania. Don't say Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania.
And what do I? Pennsylvania.
No!
What did she
win anyway? What did she go on to win?
She won. Actually, the thing is, I won more money than she did. Because she won the car.
car.
No, she didn't win the car because she didn't win the bonus round. So I actually wound up winning more money than she did. Ha! Fucking
But
ha.
Didn't she win like a trip somewhere too?
Oh, she won a car. She won a trip to Colorado. She won a trip. That's right. She won a trip
how
to
long
Colorado.
How long did that program last?
It didn't last very long, actually. It only lasted one season. As a matter of fact, it only lasted one season.
It was around for a cup of coffee.
So I just put it in the chat room, the Skype chat room.
Yeah, this cool thing about Skype, we do show and tell.
So I just found it again, and I just put it in the Skype chat room. So if anybody wants to watch it, it's fucking hilarious. It's 22 year old me before the dreadlocks and before the weight. And before
you weren't here last week, were you, Tracy?
No, I was knee deep in homework and anthropology and critical thinking and wishing. And I meant to sign because I meant to listen.
That's several subjects no Trumpansy has ever heard of.
Well, critical thinking and anthropology,
right? Remember, Rick Scott in Florida doesn't want any universities in Florida teaching anthropology or sociology or foreign languages.
Isn't anthropology the same thing as astronomy, guys? I thought that was
no, that's astrology.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
what's that where you turn lead into gold?
Alchemy.
Yeah, there we go.
Alchemy. Oh my God!
That's what I should have majored in. I think that's what Trump majored in.
Oh my!
Hey, speaking of which.
Oh hey, it's John from Central PA.
Hi. Oh, you know what? Before we chime in, John. Hi, this is Tracy. I love your calls. Are amazing. Are you still considering running for office?
Well, actually, I'm sorry. Can everybody hear me good?
Yes.
You're a little crispy, but apart from that.
Okay. Yes. Well, see, I'm actually not going to this year because I'm going to be going back to school. And so I just don't want to, like, I want to get my degree and stuff. But I'm in a political action committee. I'm part of a political action committee that we put together 100% grassroots. I mean, it started out just, you know, a local business owner that lives in my town. He was a big time Obama campaigner, big time Bernie campaigner. And he put together a couple of events where we would, you know, he would at his store, you know, he would have a couple of local progressives come over and watch, you know, something that was going on with our revolution when they were live streaming. And actually, during the primary, when we were about to vote in the primary in PA, here in PA, Pennsylvania, Stan, there was an event he had on at his bakery. He has a couple of businesses, but he has a bakery, and he invited a bunch of people to do a rally. And he invited, I think he got like, he invited a couple, like 100, maybe 75 people. He got only 30 RSVPs. Well, 30 people didn't show up. 230 people showed up here in the middle of Tea Party country. Basic, you know, and most of them were young people, you know, and it was an amazing event. And ever since then, we would do meetings every month. And it just kind of snowballed from there. It got to a point where he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run candidates. And we got candidates that are running. And we got a guy that in a town a couple miles down from me, he had there's a Democratic incumbent mayor. that's been in for 30 years. And he challenged him, and it wasn't easy in the primary. And he won the primary, and he does not have a challenger. So he's going to be the next mayor. Young guy. I think he's in his 20s yet, you know, and he's a progressive, and this is on the grassroots. And, well, we got the attention of our state senator, Scott Wagner. Yeah, that's where I live. You guys probably heard. I think, Bob, you did a story on him and his stupidity once.
I think so,
not too long ago. And, well, he's a little upset because our candidates are challenging his good guy for ending up staying Bible-believing Christ-centered evangelical candidates that he's endorsing. And he's not happy about it. And he said that our organization, and I'm quoting him, is nothing more than an AstroTurf organization underwritten by George Soros. That's exactly what he said. And I don't know about you guys,
paid
but I'm
protesters,
tired of being...
paid protesters.
Right. That gets under my skin. But I also got, we got to keep in mind, though, that when the Tea Party started out, a lot of us accused them of being underwritten by the Koch brothers, when in fact, not everybody in the Tea Party was, you know, some of that was grassroots too. And I'm playing devil's advocate here, but some of that was grassroots. So I guess they're just kind of giving it back to us, you know, I'm saying in general, people on our side accused a lot of Tea Party people. And most of it was underwritten by George Soros, or not George Soros, but, the Koch brothers, but some of it wasn't. But this stuff, this isn't, people are angry. They don't understand that people are angry at this man and his cabal and all the Republicans that are running roughshod over everything. And I want to make a point about the Paris Agreement thing. Make no mistake about it. I think that's all about undoing everything Barack Obama did. And the reason why I think it, because he said he wants to renegotiate it. You know, so they're not against it per se. They're just against it because Barack Obama did it, you know, and I can't figure out why they hate him so much. You know what I mean? What is it?
You want to take this one, Tracy?
That's a real easy one.
Go, man.
Because he's black, right? I mean,
to that bunch, he's not just black. He's the Kenyan Muslim, you slurper.
I love when you say that. It's so
he's
great.
The Antichrist. He's the Antichrist as well. Have
he
you
is
seen
the
that
Antichrist.
Picture of him?
I, for one, welcome our insect overlords, but yeah.
You know, there's another reason besides just being Barack Obama. Remember when when Trump met Macron, and Macron bitched him up in front of the whole world, crushed his hands?
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes and makes a specific statement, oh, I got elected by the people of Pittsburgh, not Paris. He specifically singled out Paris, which means to tell me that he felt bitched up, and that's the reason why he's going to drop the accord. Because
I think you're right, Les, and ooh, frankly, if sweet, snuggly, cuddly, pooty, poot rolled tanks into Paris tomorrow, Geezer Disgustus would be there cheering him on. Because see, there's this thing, and it goes, I mean, Jesus, it goes back to Reagan, okay? I don't know if you know this, John, but it goes back to Reagan, where we hate the French. Because, you know,
freedom fries.
Well, no, it goes further than when Reagan sent the Air Force to go and bomb Gaddafi's tents and slaughter his infant daughter, the French would not give us permission to fly through French airspace.
And, I did not know that.
And the Republicans have been butthurt ever since. You goddamn. And then, of course, right, you get up to the turn of the century, cheese-eating surrender monkeys, freedom toast, freedom fries.
I guess little
teenage Republicans were learning how to freedom kiss, you know, from daddy. But you get the idea.
And it, another thing to put on top of that is, if it wasn't for the French, World War II might have went a whole different way, because the resistance moves in France is what helped the Allies be able to plant foot in Normandy. Without that, without the French, the Russians would have had the, everything.
Well, also, you know, the French are the, you know, that was also the first country that recognized the independence of the United States, and they actually helped to fund the war against Britain to, for independence. So, you know, they're really our oldest allies. So I don't know
why.
Right,
but
it was,
but
it was their ships that held the British Navy back so that they wouldn't come in there and just mop the colonial army up.
Right. That's it. Right. It was the French that did in Cornwallis at Yorktown. And then immediately in the aftermath of the Revolution, it was one of the first great foreign policy crises was whether we whether the young United States would honor a treaty that they signed that we signed with France and side against Britain. We broke the treaty.
Well, did you ever see that television show Turn Washington's?
Oh, I love that
on show. AMC.
Yes, I watched it for a while. We're losing John.
Wasn't the general that advised Washington at Yorktown? It's basically.
John, you're breaking up, buddy.
Advised how a young guy. The French general.
Oh, you're talking about the Marquis.
I'm talking like 24.
Yeah, the Marquis de
Lafayette.
Right, the Marquis de Lafayette was a young man, and he was, you know, and he sat around and played whist with Alexander Hamilton and a few other of the young bravos. I'm being facetious about whist, but yeah. And he was also there are people who study issues of gender who think that he may have well been gay or bi, as was Alexander Hamilton, most likely.
Whoa.
And who knows even about, you know, Washington.
But, I mean, Washington didn't have any kids, did he?
No. And he married a woman significantly older than him, who had money. Oh, by the way, just before it slips past us, It's probably worth noting that did you see the story about the missing labor rights workers in China?
Yeah, the Ivanka Trump thing.
Yeah, they. It turns out
the
Ivanka
shoe inspector story.
Well, it turns out Ivanka Trump, along with other, or well, Ivanka Kushner. I'm sorry. Along with other capitalists, use sweatshop labor to make shoes that they then charge outrageous prices for in the developed world. Well, there's a labor rights organization headquartered in New York, and they found out recently that a couple of their organizers and inspectors got disappeared in China. One man's wife was simply called by the police and who said, "Your husband's not coming home. He's been arrested. You don't need to know why. You don't need to know when he's coming home. You don't need to know anything except he's not coming home." China. And I remember a note from our buddy Steve in China talking about how, you know, just keep your head down, mind your own business, because when they, you know, when they decide to, when they decide you've become an annoyance, goodbye. Next thing you know, you're an organ donor. That's probably not how Steve put it, but that was the takeaway that I got. So, yeah, that.
And that's where this country's heading.
Well, I mean, this country's been there. But corporate America learned to exercise soft power instead of hard power. Instead of just openly brutalizing workers, they decided to give them things like TVs. And say, you know, you don't need that union. The union's time has passed. Look, we're going to pay you more than you'd make in the union. Isn't that nice? And then a few years later, all the say, oh, I don't, you know, thanks to the labor policies of Don Blankenship. Well, those Massey workers, yeah, boy, I tell you what, we're making more than we make in the union. We don't need no goddamn pension because we got a profit sharing plan with Massey. And that was back when Massey's stock price was, you know, $40, $60. And then it went down to, you know, 3 cents.
Yeah. Your non-union pension programs are shams, mostly.
Yeah, just good until they do the first shit that makes them have to get fined out of existence, and then they just jump and you're screwed.
When I was an organizer, I was trying to organize this one shop, and I got the word out, and they're telling me, oh, we have a profit-sharing program plan, and all this, and I said, well, have you got your statement? And they go, what do you mean, statement? I said, ERISA laws say you have to get a statement if you got a IRA, a profit sharing, your employer has to get your statement. Well, no. So I got a bunch of them start bitching, and sure enough, he got them statements. And then they were like, well, that's they weren't happy with the statements because they didn't have a bunch of money in there, and it wasn't doing shit. And I, before I got in the union, I was in a non-union shop. They had one of them fucking weirdo deals. But let me tell you, I'm happy I spent all the years I did in the union. I've got a union pension now, and it pays like clockwork. The end of first business day, and the last business day of the month, boom, it hits the bank.
Because it's a real pension.
Yes. And I get statements every year of where it's at and how much money's still in it. And the plan doesn't have that many people in it, but I know there's over $10 million in the plan still because I just got my statement a few weeks ago. And most of the people that were in the plan before we got merged, I mean, my original union plan that I had to keep going even after we got merged is just the people that were in there before the merger. So it's like it's going to be like the last man standing deal, I think. They've tried to sell it off to insurance company, but it hasn't happened.
Well, if it wasn't for a postal union, Karen and I would have nothing to look forward to except work until we croaked. They have a very good retirement program, thanks to the union, mm-hmm. as far as FERS and, you know, federal retirement. And like I said, if it wasn't for that, we would work until we just they planted us. And we would have no other option.
Bet you get a statement every year.
Oh, yes, sir. And I can pull it up every month if I want to. I can pull it up right now if I want to. I mean, it's simple, and it'll be what you have. What you can expect, and you know, everybody should be that should just be a standard for everybody.
Hey, I'll be back. Guys, talk amongst yourself for a second. I'll be back. I have to take a cat out of the studio. Houdini'd their way in here. I'll be back in a sec.
Okay. Cat watch. Oh, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Can I apologize to you for yesterday?
No need to apologize. It just caught me off guard, you know.
What happened? Ooh.
I left him be the moderator for a day because I had to drive up to the big city. What I consider my, even though it's not in L.A., I had to drive up to Reading. I mean, it is, after all, the home of Bay Area and L.A. immigrants, and it's becoming, it's just nasty with traffic, and I can't stand going there. We only have one freeway going north and a freeway that comes into town east-west. But that's it. And otherwise, the surface streets are just clogged 24, I mean, all day during the business hours. And it's a nightmare to drive, Trace, for me anyway, living down here in little Dead Bluff. And you've been up I-5 through my area when you went to Oregon.
Yes, when I went to Oregon.
But it's just a nightmare. It's a hustle and bustle city.
I'm glad it's growing you now.
It's growing all the time. And I drove around. I hadn't drove around for a long time up there. And I noticed all over the place buildings with solar panels on them. And I know one thing, you drive by any school now in Northern California and they got solar panels. It's just the only way they can exist.
We're in California, everybody. We're in California. If Germany can have fucking solar panels, we should have them too.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were supposed to put a big solar farm south of Red Bluff. I mean, there's a big empty field down by the Walmart distribution center. It's right next to I-5. They could put a huge solar panel farm in.
Germany also has most of its power lines underground, and the average outage for somebody in Germany is about 5 to 10 minutes a year.
Yeah, but before, and you know, I've mentioned that kind of stuff too, Steve. Yeah. But before we all in a renewable, sustainable euphoria, Germany, and it's just this. BUIR, over a little ways to the west, to the left, open pit, goddamn coal mines.
Well, my point was, Bob, my overall point was to be a better way than this 1910 technology. I have a power lines hoisted up on.
Oh, yeah, look, the entire power grid in West Virginia is strung on pick.
Because a puff of wind comes through, you know?
You can't put the transmission. Because the way in the ground, you'd have to have a bigger conductor because there's no way to cool it and.
But you're talking about the substations, right?
Well,
no, like the high tension transmission lines, right, Sparky?
The transmission lines that are the grid. From when you get to a substation, that's fine because you're not putting out the same voltages in a distribution network.
So you don't think there's a better way in 90 years than the antiquated way we're going about it now?
I don't think he said that, Steve.
No, maybe I misunderstood him then, Bob.
I'm just saying the voltages. You're 500 kilovolts. I mean, it's just easier to use the towers and put it in free air. So you can maintain it with helicopters than to try and put it in the ground because you'd have to increase the size of the conductors, and it would just be a mass underground network you couldn't maintain. above ground, you can maintain it.
The grid itself. I understand that. But trying to thread, you know, just transmission lines through trees is archaic. And that's where we fall into problems.
I'm talking about towers. I'm not talking about poles.
I know that. Well, let's keep the towers the way that you're saying, and the transmission lines, let's put them underground.
Well, that's great, Steve. That's great, Steve, unless you live where I do.
Yeah, you were telling me the soil's not right or something.
Yeah, you go 2 feet deep. You've got some nice rich dark soil for about 6 inches to a foot. Then you run into clay for about a foot, and then you have to blast through sandstone. These mountains are made of sandstone.
Well, Bob, aren't they blasting through those mountains right now anyway?
To get to seams of coal, but it's not enough to know. I mean, Boss Man Wayne had to lay a water line, and there had to be dynamite involved.
Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, like some. What about like that shaped charge? And you just laid on top of the sandstone and just boom, just cut a path and then drop the cable right in there.
But then you still got to get back after it when you. But the real problem in a place like Appalachia. If we're going to talk about the grid, it's not the wire. It's not even the poles. It's the fact that these goddamn power companies are granted rights of way that give them absolute, unqualified, unquestioned right of entry anywhere they string their lines, and they also have a concomitant duty to maintain those rights of way, but that costs money. Because then they have to hire people like Asplund.
And surely in the maintaining department.
Davy Tree Service out here.
Right. And so, every time I lose power for two weeks.
Or IBW Union line trimmers.
Every time I lose power for 2 weeks, it's usually because a whole bunch of trees have fallen over a whole bunch of lines strung on toothpicks through the woods.
Bingo. But that's what I'm saying,
because
Bob.
The dumbass power companies, the greedy little bastards, maintain their rights of way. So I mean, like where those high tension transmission lines that Sparky's talking about, you know, on the great big goddamn towers, the ones that Godzilla knocks all the fuck in the movies.
Yes, yes.
You ever notice the rights of way on those goddamn things are a mile wide? I mean, you can see them from space.
Yep. Well, that's so. Right. I don't think they're that wide.
Well, okay. I mean, okay. So they're not a mile wide, but several hundred yards.
They're about like 200-300 feet wide, because you can see them going up the side of the mountain when you're driving on the highway.
Right.
You can't even see the transmission lines, but you can see the path through the trees.
Right. And back when I did deer hunting and stuff. In this state, you can hunt over a salt block or corn or anything. Just sit in the woods on the edge of the right of way. Put your salt block out in the right of way in the clear, and wait for Bambi to come and get a lick. And you can hunt with like a 300 mag or a 7mm mag that's got a range of thousands of yards. And a big old, 4.5 by 14 or whatever, the humongous scope, and it's not even sporting.
My overall point is, Bob, as far as transmission lines and the way to get power from point A to point B, there's got to be a better way than what we're doing it. We're utilizing technology that's 70, 80 years old.
You're goddamn right, there's a better way. And you know what the better way is? Solar panels, rooftops, battery storage systems,
exactly.
Sunshine,
individual grids,
and then you create a cooperative grid, not a centralized grid. So
but
that
the
every,
co-ops,
no,
the
no
co-ops
I'm not talking. I'm not, I'm not. I'm not talking about a co-op. I said a cooperative grid,
right?
Where everybody is feeding into. So that when it goes down, it doesn't, it, 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 you know, the, it becomes self-healing in a way.
But there must be resistance from somewhere, someone along the way.
Well, the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers coined the term at their meeting 2 years ago that anybody who has solar panels who are also tied into the grid are free riders.
Or don't you think Southern Company, Con Ed, Tennessee Valley Authority, I think they're all pushing back on this too, because it would cut into the profit margin.
There's an easy way to defeat this, though.
That's the biggest mistake going. Nobody's a free rider.
No, there's no such thing, but that doesn't stop the Koch brothers from saying so.
You have to hook a solar panel to your house, you have to be connected to the, so to speak, grid from your house. You have a grid tie connector that doesn't feed power into the grid if their power goes off, because they don't want their linemen to get
fried,
electrocuted. So there's a little box, it's on your house, that'll shut off your solar input to the grid when it stops. Their grid goes down. But your power doesn't stop. It doesn't stop generating, but it ain't going into the grid itself. But you're not free riding. You're putting into the grid whatever power you don't use goes into the grid, and they can sell it.
Right, but it's kind of like
that's the law here in California. You can't.
Well, I mean, we've got net metering here in West Virginia, even. But you never get a check back from the power company.
No, you will not. You're correct, Bob. You are really correct.
But, you know, technically, shouldn't you? I mean, if you're providing your own power source and you're putting it back to them, they ought to have to cut you a check.
Well,
yeah, but that ain't the agreements the power company wants. They want to be able to take their power and use it and sell it to somebody else.
Right.
If I got a creek and a water wheel and I'm generating my own electricity and I'm generating more than I can use and I'm pushing it back to them, there ought to be a back meter that will indicate how much they owe me every month. But it doesn't work like that, does it?
No, they'd go broke. And you know, all these power companies operate on what are called tariffs, which are schedules of what they can charge for residential, for business, for, you know, per kilowatt hour, yada, yada, yada. And their entire business model is predicated on that. But ultimately, you know, if you could set up a system, and again, the battery... And the battery technology is changing, but the battery is the problem. The battery, the storage is the problem. So, like, for instance, I was looking the other day at generators. I've got a generator that'll run the house during these things, but it can't be used with anything that's, like, sensitive electronic equipment. It's not an inverter. So I can't get pure sine wave power.
Because the instability and the spikes, it'll fry your stuff.
Right.
Yep.
So I was looking at those the other day. And, in fact, I was talking a little bit with Brother Deacon Asa about those Generacs, you know, the ones that, and they run on propane. And they've got one that's one of the first ones specifically approved for use with a grid-tied solar system. And it will it'll kick on if your batteries get drained. So, you know, there's progress being made. It's just that there are a lot of people with a vested interest in standing in the way, and like getting out of the Paris Climate Accord. Why would all the other countries on Earth want to buy American solar panels or wind turbines or what have you when we're not even following the rules? So China and Germany and Japan and some other countries will smoke us
You remember the thing on Nat Geo, Years of Living Dangerously?
Oh, yeah.
David Levner goes to India. Those solar panels were made in Ohio.
Right. And there's no reason for the world to buy them anymore.
No. China will undersell us.
And outproduce us. And you know what? As far as making the steel is concerned, they'll use American coal to do it. And so we will fuck ourselves twice.
That idiot EPA guy said, we're going to sell our clean coal technology to the world and gas fracking. I was like, they don't want to buy that shit, dude.
Right.
Yeah, there's no such thing as clean coal.
Right. And why didn't he also say we're gonna sell our automated buggy whip braiding technology to the world? There's no sense in it. I got a note here from Steve in China. Here's everything apropos of something unacceptable. Here's everything anyone needs to know about people like Donald Trump. In 1980, 1981, I rented a tidy little L.A. studio 2 blocks off Wilshire, a few blocks from the old Ambassador Hotel, for about $225 a month. 1982, 83, I rented a similar studio in downtown San Diego, a 5-minute walk from downtown, 2 blocks from the edge of Balboa Park, for about the same price. The minimum wage, regardless of what people were generally making, was sufficient to pay that rent with a bit left over. My point? Donald Trump and people like him are responsible for the fact that the stock of affordable housing has shrunk so badly. Similar units now, if such still exist, are going in the range of $1,500 to $2,500 a month. The minimum wage was something under $4 an hour in those years, $3.35, and it is roughly double now. This is why I talk to people born after 1980 and they look at me like I'm the crazy old coot I often feel like. They literally don't believe or appreciate the disparity between the one fact and the other. And I would add to Steve's note, it was not an accident. So there's that.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Parky.
Can I get in a sports plug before we go off the air?
Go, man.
Did you watch the first game in the finals last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. Golden State Warriors. Durant went off. Him and LeBron James are just having a face fest, I call it. When Durant was slamming down dunks, I mean, he come up one time and gave a look. And, like, after that, LeBron just collapsed. I mean, he just stopped. He stopped producing. I mean, he went out. I see. Well, I think he had 30-something points, and LeBron was under 30. But, I mean, that was outstanding when the Warriors just went off in the third quarter. And just jumped ahead by 20 points.
This may—I don't know. This may be the series where they finally, maybe they'll finally get a ring out of this one.
Yeah, Durant wants a ring. I mean,
and I know hockey-wise that everybody's going, kind of rooting for Cinderella, you know, the Nashville squad, but. I'm still a Pens fan.
It ain't looking good.
Oh, but what a season for him to get there.
Yeah.
It's not that old a team. And bless Nashville's heart.
San Jose Sharks.
Bless Nashville's heart for adopting him the way they did. So yeah, the NBA championships are going to be fun.
Next game is Sunday night.
Yeah, that's what I don't get. You know, the I mean, okay, travel days, sure. But during
it's still in Oakland.
But during the regular season, they play back-to-back games. But this, I guess, we've got to stretch out, and I guess it's for commercial purposes. Hey, before we get out of here, before we get out of here, let me thank everybody for participating this evening. It's been a rousing, wonderful conversation. Let me thank Alma for meeting Steve and Ms. Karen and Twiggy and Cletus with her lovely little haircuts challenge. We're now down below the $200 mark. We have raised enough for the mixer. I don't know if I can mention who did that, except to say that Kitty in Boston kicked in on it, too. And so I'll get that ordered. And that's going to be exciting. So we the three most critical pieces of equipment in the studio are about to be replaced after, yea, verily, lo, these many, many, many years. And that will be a good thing indeed. Thanks to all of you for everything you do to keep this program going. Thanks for sharing your precious finite time engaged in the conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan, our midweek utility chat room moderator, now with Lightsaber. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to everybody who keeps this program going financially. We will hopefully knock down the $195 we have remaining for this evening over the course of the weekend, and I'll report back on more on Monday. Otherwise, we'll have a $395 fundraising goal on more on Monday. I'm sure it will be lower. Thank you very much indeed. Remember, Monday and Tuesday will be shortened programs, 6 to 8 instead of 6 to 9 Eastern Time, because I'll be filling in for Malloy from 9 to 11. Hope you'll all join in. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Get to feeling better soon, Boss Man Wayne. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend.